Big power summits highlight what the leaders of the world order are doing or not doing to help nurture stability. Nations' goals will always vary, but it helps when there's some unity of purpose. Sarah Miller-Yana traveled west from her Toronto base to cover the Group of Seven meeting in Kananaskis, Alberta, that ended last night. Setting this summit in the Rockies was a masterstroke, Sarah says, the sheer majesty lending inspiration. On a lunch break, she scrambled up a trail, her media pass swaying. At the top was a sign. It said something like, "Life is frantic, slow down," she says. I took that as a message for my larger purpose, calmly take in the big picture. Perhaps others did too. This was a high-stakes G7, Sarah says, with interrelated global crises and observers watching for schisms. In the end, it showed a strengthening of alliances and a commitment to getting the work at hand done. You can read her wrap-up report at csmonitor.com. It's Wednesday, June 18th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Clay Collins. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. A New York mayoral candidate was arrested after being accused of obstruction. City comptroller and Democratic mayoral candidate Brad Lander was arrested Tuesday at a federal building after he linked arms with a person authorities were attempting to detain. Mr. Lander had been observing immigration court hearings and was there to accompany some immigrants out of the building. The episode occurred as federal immigration officials are conducting large-scale arrests outside immigration courtrooms. The Pentagon gave a contract to OpenAI. The ChatGPT maker was awarded a $200 million contract to provide the U.S. Defense Department with artificial intelligence tools, the Pentagon said in a statement. Under this award, the performer will develop prototype frontier AI capabilities to address critical national security challenges in both warfighting and enterprise domains, the Pentagon said. The work has an estimated completion date of July 2026. Also, South Korea reformed its adoption records system. After years of delay, it ratified the Hague Adoption Convention, an international treaty meant to safeguard international adoptions. The announcement on Tuesday is a significant policy shift decades after the country sent tens of thousands of children to the West through an aggressive but poorly regulated adoption system. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. With much to lose, Arab states have emerged as the loudest voices calling for diplomacy to end the Israel-Iran conflict. Led by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, they are urging President Donald Trump to seek a return to business-friendly regional stability, and they are spearheading 11th-hour contacts to prevent a wider war. Oman and Qatar are set to host last-ditch talks this week between U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff and the Iranian foreign minister. The twin goals? To reach a ceasefire and a nuclear deal. Taylor Luck reports from Amman, Jordan, for The Monitor. Tax legislation requires compromises to ease divisions within the ruling party. That looks especially complicated this year, with a Republican split over a bill that passed the House and is up for Senate review. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act, judging by the House version, showers direct tax benefits much more on wealthy Americans than on poor or middle-class taxpayers. The Republican Party increasingly relies on working-class voters to win elections. Whom is the GOP defending? The answer could shape not only the final legislation, but also the party's performance in next year's midterm elections. Lawrence Belsey reports for The Monitor. U.S. President Donald Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping have reached a moment of détente on trade that may offer a reset in their relationship. An agreement hashed out in London last week allowed each side to claim some wins, but it left unresolved a tangle of continued disputes between the two economic superpowers as their leaders tried to tamp down escalating tariffs and export controls to steady their respective economies. The framework covers such contentious issues as rare earths and advanced artificial intelligence chips. What's next for consumers remains unclear. Caitlin Babcock reports from Washington for The Monitor. Van conversions in the United States often result in luxury campers. In Ukraine, where emergency vehicles are in short supply in the ongoing war with Russia, a couple who met while serving with a volunteer medical battalion have formed a team with a different goal. They're converting civilian minivans, bought used from abroad, into makeshift armored ambulances. With Western equipment in short supply, they are meeting a need for reliable medevac vehicles for frontline evacuations, a need for safety in saving lives. Dominique Sogel reports from Poltava, Ukraine, for The Monitor. Data drives much of what educators know about students and how to help them. It's not just about test scores. U.S. states are now more involved in tracking trends that show where problems need addressing. 15 years ago, only one state publicly tracked the number of students missing enough school to be considered chronically absent. Now, 49 states publish such data. But with the extent of a federal role increasingly less clear, new questions arise. Among them, could reforming the way in which data is studied jumpstart an effort to improve federal research? Jackie Valley reports for The Monitor. When they learn how to think critically and work collaboratively, children turn into solvers. At the Knowledge, Solutions, Skills, and Creativity, or KNOSC, school on the outskirts of Nigeria's capital, Abuja, 6 cents a day provides 6 years of learning for students who would otherwise be unable to afford it. "I want to make it and then come back to help other kids like me," says Mustafa Ibrahim, who joined KNOSC in 2019 and dreams of becoming an aeronautical engineer. "Because I honestly don't know who I would have become without this place." Contributor Ogar Munde reports from Kuje, Nigeria, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Spain weighs a leader's apologies. Last week, after a police report alleged that his closest aide had taken kickbacks, Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez apologized in a public address, not once, not twice, but 8 times. And he asked forgiveness for his failure to detect the alleged corruption by Santos Cerdán, the third highest official in the ruling Socialist Party. To make amends, the Prime Minister dismissed Mr. Cerdán while taking full political responsibility for appointing him and trusting him. Mr. Sanchez also reshuffled the party leadership, ordered an external audit of party finances, and welcomed a vote of no confidence in Parliament if the opposition sought one. He stopped short of resigning or calling a snap election, however, saying voters would have their say in the next elections in 2027. Having come to power in 2018 as a fighter of corruption, he said his duty as captain is to take the helm to weather the storm. His response to the scandal has ignited a lively debate in Spain, one now closely followed around Europe. What constitutes meaningful accountability for Mr. Sanchez? Must he repent even more for his apparent ignorance of graft by an associate? The European Commission is watching. The allegations of corruption in public contracts by Mr. Cerdán might involve the bloc's funds to Spain. Other member states of the European Union are being probed for possible misuse of such monies. In a Europe with sharp left-right divisions and low trust of government, Spain has become a test case on how much voters balance mercy with harsh justice when leaders make mistakes. Apologies that are sincere do matter. So do actions that repair the damage done while preventing a repeat of the offense. Spanish voters may call for more reforms and perhaps more repentance from Mr. Sanchez. The truth about the scandal must still play out in court. If the Prime Minister does receive forgiveness, it will come because he earned it, not because he asked for it. Acts of humility often deserve acts of grace. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. We won't publish on Thursday, Juneteenth, in the United States. Watch for your next daily on Friday. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we understand that all of existence is under the loving government of God, we experience more of our innate harmony. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Jeff Turton, and Goodluck Ajay.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.